Seeking the Lord's blessing, let's turn together to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Especially these words at the end of verse 24. "Do this in remembrance of me." And if we may, by the Lord's help, we wish to consider these words in connection with our brief study that we've been undertaking over the last few weeks, the subject of spiritual assessment, and taking seriously the requirement to self-examine in terms of the life of the soul and our walk with the Lord. Engaging in this in order that we would find help in our own spiritual lives, help on the road as we seek to walk in the straight and narrow way, and in our own overall Christian walk and witness. And most of all, of course, in the context of our relationship with God. We're examining our hearts, we're examining our souls, we're asking the leading questions with regards to where we are and are we where we ought to be. And we come to a time and season of spiritual self-assessment, conscious especially that this is a requirement that is connected with the sacrament itself. Verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, "Let a person examine himself." And some of the tokens that are used at the communions have this verse imprinted or embossed upon them. "Let a person examine himself." The important element of self-examination is emphasized for us, especially at the time of remembrance and the time of the Lord's Supper. But it ought not to be something that just belongs to twice a year, or however often we find ourselves at the Lord's table, but it's something that we ought to be constantly engaged in, part of the life of the gospel, and of course engaging in that examination that belongs to our own spiritual lives and the life of the church too. To generalize our examination, to have minds and discernments that are able to read the signs of the times, where we are as people and where we are as a church. And as a congregation also. And when we come to the sacrament, we recognize that there must be in the church and in the life of the Christian a correct understanding, appreciation, and administration of the sacraments of the church. In the New Testament church, there are two sacraments: the sacrament of baptism and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And a correct understanding and administration of them is necessary for the life of the church and necessary for the life of the Christian. But this passage underlines for us an emphasis in self-examination that's really is part of its very definition. In verse 31, "If we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged." Verse 28, "Let a person examine himself." And the responsibility and the attention that is required for us to take this for ourselves, to look at where we are and where we are in our walk with the Lord and where we are in our understanding of the sacrament also. And here, of course, Paul is dealing with problems. Problems in the life of the Christians, problems in the life of the church. In fact, in verse 17, he says, "I do not commend you." Again, he repeats this in verse 21. "Shall I commend you in this?" "No, I will not." Paul recognizes that the sacrament in Corinth is now has attached to it abuse and defilements. There are many things wrong in the fellowship in the church, many things wrong with how they're dealing with the Lord's table, how they're dealing with their Christian lives, how they're dealing with one another, and therefore how they're dealing with the gospel. And of course, if this is all true, then it is a sense of alarm and warning for the person's soul and how we're walking with the Lord. When Paul addresses this, he responds immediately in verse 23. And it's not in order to suspend the practice of the Lord's Supper. There's a very famous occasion in the life of the church in Lewis where the Lord's Supper was suspended because of abuses or the sense of the unworthiness of the participants by the minister. And in Uig, for a period of, I think, about 3 years, the Lord's Supper was withheld from the people. And that preceded a time of revival. A revival followed. That's not what Paul here encourages. It's not a suspension of the practice, but rather a recovery of the correct practice. That they would find and understand the true meaning of what they're partaking in and what they're engaging in. And that they would engage with their own responsibility as individuals and as a people. And in this, he emphasizes once again the importance of the sacraments in the life of the church. Interestingly, at the time of the Reformation, this is one of the great issues that was involved in the Reformation, a recovery of the sacraments and their meaning. And it's important not just in terms of the life of the church in a general fashion, but it's important individually for you and for me to understand the sacrament and to engage in it in a correct way, to engage in a way that would be helpful and meaningful, that we would be able to understand and partake in a correct way, that we ought to do something that is valuable in our spiritual lives. And we need to take seriously what the Lord calls us to do and what he calls us to be. He calls us in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance is of great importance. It stresses the value of the people we remember. It's valuable to the people who engage in the memorial too. It is valuable to our spiritual lives that we remember Jesus and remember his death. Last time we came together in the evening, we considered the aspect of spiritual assessment with respect to thanksgiving or gratitude. And there is a connection here, and hope we'll see this in a moment. But I would like us to conclude our study, our very brief study on spiritual assessment here in this place, to climax here in terms of our study in this examination of the heart, of the soul, of the depth of our relationship with the Savior who died for us. Let a man examine himself. Coming back to verse 24, I want us just to review what we're doing here with respect to what is said here. Do this in remembrance of me. And first of all, Paul says that this is what Jesus has said to him or delivered to him. He received it, verse 23, from his own personal encounter with the Lord. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. And Paul includes in this that Jesus says this. Do this. Do this. And so when we come to the realization that our spiritual lives call us to that sense of self-examination, examining our hearts, our souls, our walk with the Lord, it is in order to engage us into activity and to motivate us and to stir us up. And it's seen even in the words of self-examination in verse 28, that a person examine himself, then so eat and drink. You examine, then you do. You engage in the activity. May I make a qualification first of all? And I know, and you'll excuse me, you'll humor me with this, I know you understand this, but that you come to the Lord's table on the condition of faith. That you have to have faith to come. And so we see a symbolism of how the eldership is validating that faith, even as the table is served. It is the elders who serve. They display that they are serving God's people, that this is part of their calling. But they also display that they themselves are validating those who are in membership. And some people may be required to be disciplined, that their faith has gone so astray that the elders have to move in that way as a corrective. And so there needs to be faith and there needs to be the corresponding lifestyle, but the desire of examination is for the encouragement of the people of God. Paul wants the people to be there. Jesus wants us to do this. I've said that the condition of the qualification is faith. It's faith. It's not necessarily great faith. It can be weak faith. It can be faith that stumbles so often. It might be very little faith. But it's faith. And the sacrament itself, rightly partaken of, is a means of grace. Every means of grace, whether it is gathering as we are this evening, or gathering in our prayer meetings, gathering at the Lord's table, whatever it may be, is to strengthen your faith, to help you and to encourage you on the way. It requires a receptiveness in our own hearts that we in some way prepare ourselves to receive the means of grace, to take every benefit that God would give to us from it. And one of the elements in which we need to engage in that preparation is this self-examination. For it is a corrective when we're going astray in our thinking, in our practice, and even in our receipt of the means of grace. Paul wants us to take every benefit possible. And so often we are denying ourselves many of the benefits that God wishes us to have. And that is part of the self-examination too. What is God saying to us? What does God really want from us? What does he want us to do and what does he want us to be? Here in Corinth, they were not to be commended in this way. There are other ways through the letter which Paul does commend them, but not in the way they treat the Lord's table. There are so many defilements and abuses. They're approaching the table all wrong. And there's no real preparation, and there's a lack of discernment. And they've been overcome with things that are wrong. Overconsumption. We see that in verse 21. In eating, one goes ahead with his own meal, one goes hungry, another gets drunk. He speaks of pride, of division, of the recognition that they are not properly discerning the Lord's Supper. not properly discerning the Lord's table and what they're engaged in and what they're supposed to be doing. What Paul calls the people of God to is the sobering corrective. In verse 30, this is why many of you are weak and ill. Some have died. If we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. When we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined. A sobering corrective, calling us back to the right path, back to doing what we ought to be doing, back to where we ought to be on the road. For he is addressing here how we ought to deal with inconsistencies. Inconsistencies with our practice as a church, inconsistencies with our practice to the means of grace, inconsistencies deep in our heart and soul, and who we are and what we do. Rather, this is what we do, verse 31, we judge ourselves. We must judge ourselves. And that self-examination is a corrective in the reality of our relationship with our Saviour. With our Saviour. At the heart of the Christian life is a relationship. And the call to examine is the call to ensure that we are walking with the Lord, that we are where we ought to be. He grants to us a warning in verse 29. Anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. You're going to bring judgment on yourself if you don't do this right. Some of you, he's saying, are already suffering because you're not doing this. You're not engaging in the way that you are. He speaks of it in verse 32 as a disciplining from the Lord. Some people are sick. Some people have died. Some have been struck down in this way. You remember, of course, in verse 29, the older translation used the old word damnation. Eating and drinking damnation. That's not really what is said here. When the King James Version was translated, it was a good translation. But of course, language evolves. And damnation in the days of the 17th century would have meant something like what we understand a judgment is. Damnation means something else today. And maybe that old meaning and that old rendering has hindered a lot of people. Maybe it's hindered people. Maybe because of these words, you've stayed away. Maybe it's your practice to stay away from the means of grace. God doesn't want you to stay away. And even with all the abuses and defilements in Corinth, Paul doesn't want them to stay away. The wrong response is to stay away. The right response is to get serious, to get things right, to so eat and so drink. Because Jesus says, do this. Do this. And what he is calling us to do is take. Take the bread. Take the wine. Take the blessings. Take the benefits. Engage in activity. Come and sit with the Lord's people. And I fear that another faulty understanding amongst many people is that the Christian life is entirely passive. That we sit and wait for everything to happen to us. That we leave all responsibility to God. and we don't engage in any responsibilities ourselves. Here Paul proves to us from the very words of Jesus that the Christian life is active, that the Christian life calls us to engage in our responsibilities. It calls us to a real obedience that does things. Do this. Paul is telling the believer, you come, take your place, sit where you ought to be. Everything that holds you back, every hindrance, every obstacle, every doubt, every fear, every little aspect of unbelief, you remove it, you get rid of it. Don't sit there being passive. Engage in the activity of faith. Do this. Do this is what Jesus calls us to engage in. He calls us here in verse 24, do this in remembrance. It's a memorial. In verse 24, in remembrance. In verse 25, remembrance of me. And again, he says this in verse 26, you proclaim the Lord's death. It is a memorial. We're being called to discern what the Lord's Supper represents. The bread and the wine, symbolizing a broken body, a shed blood, symbolizing a death. It symbolizes what is at the very heart of the gospel. It symbolizes the gospel, the death of Jesus. And it says, this is what God's people believe in. This is what they put all their hope and all their trust in. Jesus died for my sins. Proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Again, it emphasizes the exclusive nature of the sacrament. It's not just for everybody. It's for the people who say, this is my Savior. This is my substitute. This is my Redeemer. This is the only hope I have. Christ, my Lord. We come to a memorial to proclaim a death. There is the aspect of it that remains public. The opportunity to witness on the side of Jesus. To put our lot with God's people. To sit with the little flock, the people of God. To say that we are part of God's people, that we belong together. You remember in the chapter before this, chapter 10, in verse 16, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And there Paul is bringing the picture of how this bread also pictures to us the unity of God's people. It's just one church. It's just one family. It's just one people, and they are the people of the Lord. They are Christians. They are Jesus' people. They are those who he died for. And this is part of the assessment, that we are there for that very reason. We are there in memorial. We are there in remembrance because his sacrifice means everything to us. We are there because he died for us. And the focus of attention at this supper is this memorial. We know that memorial is important, that we remember the death of those who are precious to us. We remember significant events. There are anniversaries and other significant dates that come to our minds, and we can't but think of those whom we miss and those who we love. And in our memorial, we are communicating their value and importance and the depth of our feeling and emotions. We are grateful for what they've done for us. Every year, our nation stops on November Remembrance Sunday in gratitude, for we are thankful for what others have done for us. It's a communication, a memorial communicates something, something meaningful, something that captures our attention, something that takes our focus, and our focus is Him. Do this in remembrance, thinking of Him. Our focus is Him. Paul wishes to recover the solemnity of the supper, and he wishes to insist that we engage in the supper with gratitude. Verse 24, when he had given thanks. This is the Greek word Eucharist, which many people, many churches use for the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And last time when we considered our spiritual assessment, we were asking if we're grateful, if we're thankful to God for Christ. And here is this great emphasis of remembrance coupled with thanksgiving. We come with gratitude for remembrance of what He has done for us, in how important He is to us. And to maintain here, our great assessment is that we value what He has done, we value who He is, we value what He is still doing for us and what He will do, and we value also here that He took our place. That agony belonged to us. That suffering should have been for me and for you. In my place, condemned, He stood. The remembrance is until He comes again. Verse 26. The church longs for her Saviour. Thy kingdom come. And so in the meal, there is a looking back and a looking forward, that until the end, we remember. But the end is coming, fast approaching. But we remember that death. We remember what our hope is as we walk in the last days and we wait for our Saviour's return. That we are constantly affirming in the midst of a hostile, unbelieving world, Jesus died for our sin. He was raised for our justification, and He's coming again to take us home. To take us home. Did He not say to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back to receive you to myself. In verse 26, as often as you eat it. And the early New Testament church ate it often, because they wanted to remember His death often. But He did. Thirdly, finally, in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. So simple, but so often overlooked. It's for him. These are the words that Paul is quoting that came from Jesus in Revelation to Paul. I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus gives us the opportunity to engage in activity. An activity that ought to be undertaken in love. An activity of remembrance of a sacrifice, symbolized by wine and by bread. And all he asks us to do is simply sit there, eat, drink, participate. Participate together. Say together as a people, he died for us. He died for us. And he asked us to do this for him. That's why we come. That's why we sit there. For him. The temptation we face is that we think it's all about us. That we're sitting there for ourselves. Coming from the table and asking ourselves, what did I get? What did I get from that? Do this for me. That's what Jesus says. That we need to have the ability to discern that we simply aren't there for ourselves. We're there for him. What we do for Jesus. The focus of our attention is a sacrifice that is selfless. He gave himself for us. Therefore, it is wrong for us to approach the table with a selfish attitude. Rather, we must come in the activity that belongs to us, in the great realization we're doing this for him. We're doing this for him. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a blessed opportunity. We don't do it for some kind of merit. We do it fueled by gratitude, fueled by love, desirous to be obedient to where the Lord wants us to be, to display our love and our faith in a tangible way, to take a little bit of the bread, a little bit of the wine, and to remember him, and to know that he helps us. Even with our weak faith, even as we tremble before him, we come here because here is help. Here is where he wants us to be. Here is where he calls us to be, to just simply sit and eat and remember. Isn't it just a little thing in comparison to what he did for us? The call of self-examination is serious. It's serious. But the great objective is in order that we would draw closer to the Lord. That we would come. not simply for ourselves, but because he calls us. Do this in remembrance of me. And even as a corrective to restore our walk, however far we've drifted, to restore our love, to make it all about him. Friend, do this for him. Not anybody else. Not even yourself. Do it for him. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen. May the Lord bless our thoughts together. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come to you confessing how often we are so selfish and how often our own perspective is viewed. Help us to see from a greater perspective, that your Spirit would enlighten us, that you would grant us a clarity in our thinking and in our own seeing, that we would look to Jesus, that we would find help and healing, and that we would remember him until he comes again and what he has done for us. Bless us then, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. On page 396, in order that we would sing verses 13 to 18 of Psalm 116, I'll of salvation take the cup, on God's name will I call, I'll pay my vows now to the Lord before his people all. Psalm 116, verses 13 to 18, standing to praise God. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.